some of us in marriage, we've become the pro replayers and always go back to the spot of the foul. Remember when you did this? Remember you did this? Let's replay.
Hey everybody, Doc Brian here, and welcome to Doc Talks. We talk about people's troubles, trials, tribulations, and hopefully triumphs in life. Today we're in LifeWord Studios broadcasting in 174 languages to 127 countries to a listening audience of 2 billion people. You can find all of our content at lifeword.org. Today I have 2 very special guests with me today, Tondra and George Gregory. They are the authors of the USA Today best-selling book, The Marriage Game Plan. George is NFL chaplain for the Los Angeles Chargers, and he and his wife are here today to talk to us about their book. So, George, Tondra, it's great to have you with us here today. So, tell us a little bit about your book. How did this come about? How did this project begin?
Yeah, well, it came about because, well, first of all, thank you for having us on the show.
Thank you so much.
You wouldn't want to be anywhere this morning besides talking to Dr. Bryant. It came out of really just our pain throughout the first couple of years of our marriage. We started off, you know, I often joke and just say Tondra thought she was marrying Denzel because she thought I looked so great. And that's a joke, by the way. But we soon realized that when we got married, we weren't prepared. I mean, like most people, they want to live happily ever after. But the thing is when the honeymoon's over and the challenges start, whether it's our expectations are not met or, you know, we go through seasons of stress or whatever, we found out that our foundation wasn't prepared enough. And years later, we just started to articulate, wow, we didn't have a game plan. And so for the last 16 years, we've been working as NFL chaplains through various teams or helping NFL chaplains pastor their teams. And so we learned a sports language, but we also learned what we didn't do right. And that's how we married the two to become the marriage game plan.
Yeah. And, you know, within marriage, it seems like that most people today have a very skewed idea of what marriage really is supposed to look like. Going into it. And a lot of us didn't have a very good example of what marriage is. So, Tondra, tell us a little bit about what our expectations should be, even in the dating realm of where we see this person as a potential husband or wife.
Yes, expectations. Well, one is you and your spouse need to discuss what those expectations are, but we all come into our marriage with a set of beliefs, expectations, backgrounds that we bring together. And unless you really talk about and get on the same page, it's not an organic thing that you need to roll the dice with and just assume that you have the same expectations. You actually have to talk about it and get a game plan for what do we want our marriage to look like. And I know a lot of times people come into their marriage and they want to have things the way they're used to doing it, the way they've seen it, the way they grew up. And it's not about having your individual ways, mm-hmm. but it's about coming in with the expectation that we're going to create our way.
Yeah.
You know, we could take a little bit from each of us, but we got to create our unique way.
Yeah, and that's important, right? So this book, Dr. Brian, is a marriage book, but we undergird marriage principles by using sports analogies. And in most programs, whether it's college or pro, you're going to see certain themes or mottos around their building. And one of those mottos is our way, mm-hmm. right? We do it our way. LA Chargers, we have a way. And in marriage, it's not your way anymore. It's our way, right? And so when we talk about expectations or preparing for marriage, I mean, that's one of the most basic things that we could do in society, but oftentimes we overlook it, right? The dating process probably needs to be vetted a lot more because many times in dating, what we know is that people put their best foot forward. They don't want you to see the ugly side because why? Is they want to be chosen or they want to, do the ultimate thing called marriage. And so we just like to have a deeper vetting process where you really open and explore the deeper things, not just the surface level things or not the things that you just want to come across as, wow, I've got everything together. And so we feel like the marriage game plan is a resource for couples to go deeper and ask each other the really tough questions, because either you're going to ask them on the front end or you're going to experience them on the back end.
Yeah, I remember Jennifer and I got off our honeymoon. It was the first day in our new home. We woke up, it was a Saturday morning, and she looked at me and she said, and we know that women often say things that we have to understand what they're communicating. There's a difference between what they say and what they're communicating. She said, you know, every morning my grandfather made my grandmother breakfast. And I looked at her and I thought, we're going to your grandpa's for breakfast?
Right.
You know? So in the dynamic of a marriage, there's not just this having this plan, but also knowing the communication style of how to read that. And when I think about sports analogies, we talk about football, we have the quarterback, we have the plays, we have the things, but there is an execution and a communication that play has to be made before the process ever begins. So how do we, as young married couples, how do we dive into what communication really looks at?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think, you know, a part of that is being willing to be a pro, right? So what I mean by that is pros, even on the elite level of NFL or MLB or MLS, whatever you want to say, is the pros practice still daily, mm-hmm. right? They just don't get to a level and say, oh, we're going to take off, we're making all this money. No, they practice every day. And so we need to learn to practice. Where do we practice at? You get books, right? You go to seminars. We went through the same marriage retreat for 7 years straight, same fill in the blank, same stories. Why? It's because we needed it. And so when it comes down to prep with communication, we don't know certain communication skills or winning skills until we're in the conversation and we have this go around to, like, I don't think we're talking about the same thing, right? And so there's tools that you can use. Like, we have in our book called chapter called Tips for Tackling Tough Conversations, right? A specific communication point. How do we tackle tough conversations? Most people are going to tackle it in their own way to do it, but that doesn't mean that's the right way to do it. And it doesn't necessarily mean that it's the right way for your spouse. So you have to come up with your communication mm-hmm. plan. I love Coach Jim Harbaugh. He says, when we quote this in our book, he says that we all have to be guardians of victory. There's no offense, there's no defense, it's we fence, right? And so that's the same thing in communication. You might know how to say, I don't like that, but when you say that to your spouse, is that going to set them off and have your point totally lost because you set them off and not allow them to hear your heart?
Yes, and I would just add is you're learning, you're evolving, and communication is something that you're not going to outgrow working on, because in each season you might need to communicate in a different way or have different needs mm-hmm. that need to be communicated. So I think it's a growing process. So we have to always remain curious and ask questions and points of clarity and not make assumptions is really the goal. It's just stay vigilant, stay alert, and slow down conversations at times just so you can seek that deeper meaning or reflect back what you're hearing. So you're making sure that you're minimizing miscommunications as much as possible.
Yeah. But one of the things, Dr. Brian, that we run into a lot within our coaching programs, or whether we're meeting with couples throughout the country as we speak, is that a lot of people, they want maturity, or they want to sort of have the discipline in life to say, I want to grow up. But what their words are, their heart is I don't want to grow. I don't want to evolve. I don't want to change. We like to say to people, you can teach an old dog new tricks, right? And we have this talk called In It to Win It, bringing your best self to your relationship or your marriage. And one of those points is choosing growth. Mm-hmm. Growth is not, you know who I was before you married me, so don't try to change me now. Mm-hmm. Growth is, in marriage, it is about changing. It is about evolution. It is about learning not only new ways of communication, new ways of intimacy, new ways of stress management, but it's learning to do it with your teammate. Tondra is my teammate. She's my road dog, if you will. And in marriage is a team sport. And sometimes in communication in marriage, it can be messy.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I have heard a lot and have seen a lot just in marriage counseling is that some of the younger people who are getting married now, they lack interpersonal communication skills. We live in a tech society, and I have actually been able to see couples argue over text message that they would not argue in person. And for some reason, we feel safe when we're behind the phone sending a text message, but when we're in front of each other, a lot of times we don't feel safe. And that may be due to past trauma. That, I mean, there's a whole gamut of things. But how do we instruct young married couples to really decide that, hey, we're going to sit face to face and we're going to speak. And we're going to speak not to respond, but speak to understand. How do we have and engage these young marrieds to do that?
Yes, I think it's crucial in teaching that what marriage is all about. And if you want to stay isolated, then you stay isolated. Mm-hmm. But if you are wanting to do life with someone, a part of doing life with someone is getting to know them in all ways, in deeper ways. And the goal of being in a relationship is to be fully known, mm-hmm. fully seen, and have deep levels of intimacy. And that intimacy can only be had with communication. How do I know my spouse, what she's experiencing or what he's experiencing, if we don't have a conversation? So it's painting or reframing. It's not communication. It's about bonding and deepening your relationship and friendship. And that is the goal. Yeah.
Yeah, I think in sports, again, sports analogy, you know, when the rookies came in during the offseason, most of those rookies come in with, I know what I'm doing. Why? It's because they were at the top of their game in college. Well, college guys, this is the pros. So they teach you, no, we don't carry the ball like that. You carry the ball like this. We don't run patterns like that. This is the way we run it. And so sometimes we come into marriage with the way we want to do it. And you need a coach sometimes to say, wow, that was a crazy thing to say. Why'd you say it that way? And so to me, I think there's sometimes that professional counseling or pastoral counseling just helps us to say, here's what we're thinking. And then somebody else says, hey, no, I wouldn't say it like that. Here's a better way to say it. Here's a better way to carry that. Here's a better way to deliver that. Why? It's because over text, for instance, Dr. Brian, you can't understand your spouse's heart. And to me, that's what's missing in our society today is we want to communicate, but are we trying to understand the one that's communicating, right? We call it double Dutch communication, mm-hmm. where double Dutch is, you know, sort of like the kids with the double ropes. They were waiting for their turn to jump in, and they would sort of like be ready to jump in. And sometimes in conversations, we're so ready to respond to that point in a heated way that we're not listening to their heart. So we teach, slow down, slow it down. Maybe think about what you want to say before. Maybe don't even say what you want to say, but repeat what they said. So am I understanding this is what you wanted to communicate? And then your spouse can say, no, that's not what I was even saying to you. How'd you get that, right? And then they can repeat what they were saying. And then they go and say, hey, let me repeat it. And then the spouse says, yes, that's what I was trying to communicate. Thank you for listening to my heart. I think that's a big issue that we can address overall.
And I would just add, like, we're not demonizing technology. We know that this is very huge in young people's lives. We're just saying put boundaries around your technology. Don't allow technology to come in and rob you and steal you of being fully known and fully seen and to connect. And if you haven't developed communication skills, we can all learn communication skills because they are crucial in order for us to be known, in order for us to know our significant other, our spouse.
Yeah, you know, George, you gave the analogy of the rookies coming in, and there are differences between the collegiate level and the NFL, not just in you're new here, you're a rookie, but some of the rules change. It's not exactly the way that you played collegiate sports. I have experienced couples who have been living together. One particular couple, they lived together for 16 years, had children, and their relationship did not begin to fall apart until they got married. Because now there is a whole new set of, let's say, responsibilities or commitment. So for these people who have just now entered into marriage, what is the big thing? I'm sure if we had Coach Harbaugh, he would say the biggest thing that a rookie needs to know is this. What is the biggest thing that a newly married couple, maybe they have been together for years, even living together, have kids, what is the biggest thing that they need to know?
Wow. Well, I think, you know, the marriage, let's talk about what happens at the altar, right? Or when you stand before people, what you're really doing is you are standing before a congregation, you are standing before God, and you're making promises. Well, or vows. What are these vows or promises? They are covenants, right? And that's what we talk about in chapter 2 is God through marriage gives you a lifelong promise of love and commitment. And that covenant is different than living together. Our son, he has this phrase about, oh, that's my wifey. And we say, what do you mean that's my wifey? And he's like, oh, well, that's my serious girlfriend, but she's not your wifey. You can't, you know, be in a non-committed married relationship and call things that, you know, are supposed to be in marriage. Yeah. You know, you can't compare that. And so we the covenant, let me talk about that more. So the covenant is when you cut that promise to say, here's what I want to do until death do us part. It's the same covenant that Christ, as the bridegroom, gives his bride, the church. And he compares our marriage. He says, do what I did for the church. He says, I want you to do that in your marriage for each other. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big issue in our society is people can eject when they don't get there what they want, but they forget about the covenant of marriage. And I think covenant really makes a big difference.
Yeah, and I do think a lot of times in our society, we have young people thinking that marriage is about us, right? It's about what we want and our happiness. And if I'm not getting that anymore, then this isn't going to work. But marriage has a higher goal and a higher purpose. And if we don't know what that is, then we won't get the full benefit. We won't know how it's supposed to operate. We won't know what we're supposed to get out of it. And so if it's truly just based on you and your needs and your happiness, then of course, if I'm not happy anymore, I'm out. But it's about a higher purpose. It's God has a plan for marriage. Mm. There are purposes for marriages, for marriage, and it's supposed to do something in our life, in our family, and in the world and the community. And if you don't know that, it's kind of like that iPhone. If you don't go back to the creator to figure out, well, why did you create this iPhone? What can it do? You're not going to get all the benefits of that iPhone. You might misuse it. You might not appreciate it. You might not work at it the way it's or utilize it the way it was designed to do. So it's very important to know the purposes and what the creator had in mind. And that's why we wrote chapter 2 is a part of the marriage game plan. Mm-hmm. It's like, what did God have in mind? What am we supposed to do? So you don't misuse it.
Yeah. Hey, Dr. Brown, I want to go back to a point that I lost this while I was talking earlier. But so throughout our career in the NFL or pro sports, there'll be a few players every now and then they'll say, hey, can you marry me? And it's like, yeah, I'll marry you. But when's your wedding? Oh, it's tomorrow. It's like, well, whoa. You know,
yeah.
Well, I need to take you through some premarital counseling or whatnot. And there was this, we've had a few guys who would get married and they had this example that you named, hey, we're already living together. We already have kids together. And then after their marriage, after the wedding day, I'll say, hey, how's marriage? And they'll say, that's no different. You know, I did it because that's what she wanted, right? She wanted this wedding, but we were locked in. And I say, man, you're missing the point of what a wedding is. A wedding is when you stand before God and you make these vows. And basically you sit up there and you say what you want to do, but we know it's all a lie because you can't do that in your own strength. Mm-hmm. So you're asking God, you're saying, God, will you help me when I can't? Please help me. And an analogy that I often give is when players are on the field, Dr. Brian, and they are out of wind, there's this thing called a second wind. You can't play 60 minutes of football without having a resurgence of energy, a resurgence of that I got enough endurance to finish this game. And I said, when you stand at the altar, you're saying to God, I don't have it all together. I cannot do this, but I need help. The Holy Spirit is our second wind. When we can't, he kicks in. When we can't love our spouse like Christ loves the church, he says, attaboy, you can. Here's, try this, or I'm going to give you grace in this area. Or I'm going to show you this. See, the Holy Spirit is our comforter. He's our God. He directs us into all truth. And I think that's what's missing in a lot of couples who are trying to do the marriage thing, but not really commit covenant. What they're doing is they're not inviting God in the picture, saying, I want to do it your way. They're saying to God, come on our plan. We know the best way to do it. You can just watch us do it the right way.
Yeah. Arkansas is unique in that there are two separate marriage licenses that you can apply for. You can have the traditional marriage license, or you can have a covenant marriage license. And the difference is, with a covenant marriage license, you have to have 40 hours of premarital counseling. It's required. But also, it is not easy to get a divorce with a covenant marriage license. The law is completely different on how you apply for and go about divorce. Personally, as a pastor, I will not marry someone if they do not have a covenant marriage license. Because to me, that says, I want there to be some wiggle room for me to get out of this if this needs to take place. One thing following with the sports analogy here, hopefully this doesn't sound too ridiculous, but George will tell me if it is ridiculous. I promise you that. we're having some marital conflict, and all of a sudden we need a flag thrown on the play. We need a pause. And then, you know, if we follow the sports analogies, the umpires, the referees get together, they discuss, they make a determination about how to proceed. How do we apply that within marital conflict?
Yeah, I think there are times when we have to do what we see on TV, right? We've got to slow it down. We've got to see where the point of the foul happened. Because if we don't go back there, if we don't discuss, when you said that, this is how that made me feel, when you use that word, if we don't go back to the spot of the foul, then we don't know where not to go back to. We don't know. That's a no-no in our marriage or our relationship. And so I think that's a principle. What I do feel like we sometimes do, though, Dr. Brian, is some of us in marriage, we've become the pro replayers and always go back to the spot of the foul. Yeah. Remember when you did this? Yeah. Remember you did this? Let's replay it at breakfast. Let's replay it at lunch. And we like to say to people, a part of that growth that I was talking about is growing is not always taking us back to the spot of the foul and saying, remember you did this, but growing is choosing to believe that you have my best interest in mind. And that takes time, and that takes growth, and that takes trust. But in marriage, the spot of the foul, we need to talk about it, but we can't stay there because no one wants to stay in the spot of the foul.
Mm-hmm. So Tondra, what do we do? Because I know in a lot of times that spot of the foul is just not addressed. And then we allow so many fouls to take place, and then we just explode. And when we explode on the people that we love the most. How do we keep from doing that?
Yes, so we dedicated a whole chapter to this, and George referenced it before, but tips for tackling tough conversations. And one of the tips is you have to nip it in the bud, meaning you have to address it. Sometimes we might not know how to bring it up. I think people avoid having those tough conversations because it's vulnerable and it's scary. And you may not have seen tough conversations right. Go well in the house you grew up with, or maybe you grew up in a home where we never talked about any tough issues. We tiptoed around the elephant in the room, but it is literally about learning how to bring it up and not avoiding it, bringing it up as soon as possible, because it becomes more difficult and becomes a landmine. And you blow up on somebody because it's built up over time. So the sooner you can address it, it keeps everything smaller and more, we can talk about it without piling on more hurt, more disrespect, more, you know, conflict surrounding it, making it a bigger deal than it is. And so avoidance is not the goal. Right. Addressing it sooner is the goal to keep it from becoming a big, big deal. And it becomes so emotionally charged that it becomes a hot topic at that time.
Yeah. Tondra's grandmother had this saying before she passed away. She says, "I'm going to get you for the old and the new."
She said, right? "When I get you."
When I get you, right? "I'm going to get you for the old and the new." And I think that there's so much of that brought in the mentality of communication, right? Like if we think about it, babies, they don't know how to articulate. But when they feel something, they blow up. Why? And if you can't articulate what it is and you just blow up, maybe that's a sign of some immaturity that needs to be dealt with. And before your listeners think I'm judging them, no, I'm not. What I'm saying is a true coach will be able to point it out. Here's what you're doing wrong. Here's how to get that right. And if you're blowing up in your marriage, if you are just, you know, holding stuff in until you can't take it anymore, there's some tips that I think are out there in marriage books, seminars, in sermons. But we often say, Dr. Brian, don't die in a sea of lifeguards. There's so much help out here, so many resources. I mean, we are oversaturated. Everybody has a podcast. Everybody will tell you kind of what to do. We don't need more information. We need to execute the plays that we know we should run.
Yeah. I have a good friend. He and his wife, even before they got married, started going to marriage seminars. Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Why are you doing that? You know, that you aren't even married yet." And then about 2 months in, they went to a marriage seminar. And so we sat down and we had a conversation, and they said that quarterly they go to some kind of marriage retreat or seminar. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, man, that's really good. But in the forward of my mind, as someone who practices in mental health, I'm going, is there a problem? And so being a good friend, I said, "Hey, man, you know, is there a problem?" And he said, "You get your oil changed every 3,000 miles. Mm-hmm. Why are you not doing maintenance on your marriage?"
Wow.
And I thought, what a perspective to go into marriage with this maintenance plan of being able to just stop and reflect. And sometimes that's what we need, to just stop and reflect.
Dr. Brian, that's so perfect, man. Again, I think in our everyday life as humans, we know what to do. Mm-hmm. But sometimes in marriage, we just we don't have a clue, right? And if you think about our book, The Marriage Game Plan, as business people, right? Married people work in business, they work in corporate America, right? Mm-hmm. And in corporate America, you know, you can't lead a organization or a company without a game plan. You can't. You got to have a vision statement. We teach a vision statement. You got to have a mission statement. We teach that. We teach what's the end goal. Where do you want to go? And then you track a trajectory to get there. We know this in common everyday language, but sometimes in marriage, it's almost like we just forget how to be successful. And we know this. Every one of us, let me say it a different way. None of us got married to fail. Hmm. All of us want to win in our marriage. And you can win, but you got to get a successful game plan.
Yeah. I think that somewhere in the Bible it says something about where there is no vision, the people perish.
That's right.
And it's important, not just in our marriage, but in our everyday life, that we have the vision that God has given us to move forward. Another sports analogy here for you. You're on the sidelines. Your coach has been telling you need to improve in these areas. And then one day, out of the blue, you get cut. What do we do in marriage? It just comes out of left field. We've not seen any of the signs, and the wife or the husband come and they say, "We're done. We're through."
Well, I would say this is why we have to be proactive and not reactive. It's not about looking for signs that is not working. It's about tending the garden all along. Mm-hmm. So it's not, "Oh, I didn't see this coming." It's no, we've been communicating, we've been talking, we've been working through tough issues, we've been teammates. All of these things is about laying it down. And that's what a game plan allows couples to go ahead and get on the same page, heading in the same direction. So you aren't getting blindsided by, "Oh, I didn't know you felt that way," or "I didn't know you were holding on to that. If we are constantly being engaged with each other and we are constantly having these what we call huddles, we have huddles is where we get together and we're making sure that we're continuing to be on the same page, reassessing the strategy and the game plan. And also we, you know, having Victory Mondays where we're celebrating each other, giving high fives, all of these things, having these in your rhythm is, it prevents that reactiveness of, oh, I thought we were coasting along doing great. And I'm blindsided by all of this.
Yeah. So when I think of that, Dr. Brian, I challenge all of our rookies that go through camp. I say, how you doing? And most of them look at me like a deer in the head, like, well, I think I'm doing good. And I say, no, what did your coach say? Mm-hmm. And they say, I haven't talked to him. I say, go to your coach and ask him, hey, how am I doing? I think the most dangerous question I've asked Tondra throughout the course of our 30-year marriage is, hey, tell me the truth. How am I doing? And that's where I give her the right. I give her the ability to speak into my life to say, wow, you're pretty blunt sometimes, or you don't listen. You need to listen better during this season. And so I think getting the feedback all along, like Tondra is saying, is so crucial and so important, because if you don't, then you're signing up to be thinking you know it all or thinking you're perfect, or you could be setting yourself up for a bad day. No one wants to be cut. But let's talk about this, Dr. Brian. If you have been cut, if you do find yourself on the outside looking in, God is a redeeming God. And so many people, there was this one player, his name was Kenyon Barner. He got cut by the LA Chargers. And on his way out the door, he told me, "Chap, don't worry, God's got a plan for me." And 3 weeks later, the Eagles picked him up. He won the Super Bowl that year. He got released the next year. The Patriots picked him up. They won the Super Bowl that year. A few years later, he got released by Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Mm-hmm. Guess what, Doc? They won the Super Bowl. What am I telling you? Not that we should look to be cut in marriage and go on to win 3 Super Bowl rings, but what his story tells me is if you've been cut before, there's still God's redeeming plan for you and for your life. Learn the lessons that maybe you didn't learn the first time, and take that into a second marriage or a new relationship, saying, I'm going in with my eyes wide open. Maybe get a copy of the marriage game plan and let's go. Let's get it together, because God's got a plan for you and your life.
Yeah. You know, one thing that I hear in those moments is 15 years, 20 years, just down the drain, just a loss. And it's not. If you have learned anything, you have gained. And we carry that into the next relationship. And we don't want to carry the baggage. We want to carry the knowledge into those places. Just kind of wrapping this up, I read a few days ago, there was a study put out by the University of South Carolina. It was talking about D1 athletes, and it said the depression rate amongst D1 athletes is the highest rate of depression within college, anyone in college. I haven't read any studies, and you would know better than I would, about depression, anxiety rates, or even divorce rates within the NFL. Do they seem to be higher than what we would see within the general population?
Yeah. So there's we even have a quote in our book. We found a stat where they said that NFL marriages end in 70% after retirement. Right. And in really high pressured careers like special ops or military, sometimes it is pro sports. It is really a high divorce rate. Even if you look at where we live in wealthy Orange County, the divorce rate is 72%. And so what we like to say, though, is that even though you live in moments like that, or you can be in an environment like that, to be proactive, this is what we share with our players in real lifetime. We quote that statistic. If 70% of you will get a divorce by the time you retire or after retirement, which one of you are signing up to be in that 70%? No one raises their hand. So our advice is, then you have to be proactive now and don't be reactive later. What does that look like? That means asking the tough questions now. That means not waiting until your career is over to build your friendship with your spouse. I love that. I love the thing that we often tell couples, Dr. Brian, is that the most important game that you're going to win or you should win is your home game. Most of us are considering how we are going to make a bigger impact in our career and our extracurricular activities and our stocks and our bonds. And we fail to look at, wow, the most wealthy or the most, the ability to win in your home game means that you can leave a legacy that will prosper so many more people in life. When you teach your kids how to love, how to forgive, how to be patient, how to be kind. And I think that's an example that we could all give, is that instead of being offset by sort of the divorce rate, let us be proactive and be conscious about winning in our home game, because therefore, when we win in our home game, we're going to create a legacy that this world has never, ever seen before.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Wrapping all this up in just this nice, neat little bow. What is your word? What is the one thing that you want people to leave today knowing for sure?
That no matter where you are on your marriage journey, no matter where you've been, what background you grew up in, there is hope. You get to decide where you want to go from here. Your past doesn't define you. Your present doesn't define you. But if you want a marriage and you want to be successful in your marriage, in your family, you have to roll up your sleeves. Yeah, I always say put your big girl pants on or your big boy pants on and go out here and work on it. George and I moved through that dark season in our marriage because we did something different. A lot of times people are like, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing but expecting different results. So we did something different. We went to a marriage conference every year, learning one new thing that we can apply to our marriage. Mm-hmm. And before we knew it, we worked ourselves out of that dark place. Yeah. And now we're here today helping other couples get that game plan to move forward.
And along those same lines, I would say, man, whether you're listening or whether you're looking, we Tondra and I, we are pictures of God's grace. We're not perfect by any means. If we've come across like we think we're perfect, we are not perfect. What we know is that God has given us grace and we have allowed grace in each other. And so if we can do it, you can do it. Mm-hmm. If we can make it 30 years in marriage from where we came from, you can do it. So that's what we want to say to your listeners is no matter how bad you think things are right now or challenging or even how good, you can still take a good marriage and make it a great marriage.
Yeah, absolutely. George Tondra, where can we find your information? What's the easiest way for us to connect with you? We'll put all your social media links in the description of this podcast, but what's the easiest way for people to contact you?
Our website, which is journeyforlifenow.org.
All right.
And I think that's the best way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll just put George's cell phone number down there and then they can contact him that way.
Yeah. If also info@journeyforlifenow.org, they can contact us via email as well.
That's great. Well, George Tondra, thank you so much for being here with us today. Of course, I'm Dr. Brian. You can find all of my contact information at thedocbrian.com. Again, we're in LifeWord Studios today. Find all of our Christian content at LifeWord.com. Thank you so much for being here with us today. We appreciate you listening. We'll talk to you soon. Goodbye.